many of us had anticipated something more grand than what I consider to be a reference to an authentic cable suspension bridge.
Along with serving on the council, Brian Spencer is also an architect and developer. He views the bridge project in that light, as well as the light of an interested observer.
I've been able to travel to many different cities, both in the United States as well as abroad, and find more often than not, cities provide these bridges as a signature to a community or a district or a city.
Spencer had hoped that the Florida Department of Transportation could have placed more of the grading of the projects to the more creative design solutions, and perhaps a bit less on technical aspects. He points to Charleston, South Carolina as an example.
The Cooper River Bridge, the $540 million solution. One of the contractors, Flatiron, which came in as a much higher bid, was the design-build contractor for that one. Charleston is very proud of the two towers.
Ian Satter with FDOT says Skanska USA, the winning bidder, and the other four competing firms were required to include certain features in their proposals.
It'll be a six-lane facility. Plans call for a 10-foot multi-use path to bike and jog along there as well. There'll be wider shoulders, so if there is an incident where maybe somebody's car breaks down, they'll be able to pull over to the shoulder. You won't have those traffic delays.
Two FDOT committees scored what were offered by the five design firms. Technical issues went before one panel, the other looked at selection.
Aesthetics, design, safety, construction time, materials. There's a lot of categories that go into place, but it's based on about an 80-point scale. Each category has a different amount of points for it. We will look at that along with the projected cost they will put into place to determine the best proposal.
In particular, Councilman Brian Spencer finds fault with the two arches in the proposed span, calling them a diluted gesture.
In the context of the entire 3-mile span, these arches would hold the pedestrian walkways versus the vehicular span of the bridge. While I would say plebeian in their accomplishment.
Another concern for Spencer is that a lack of public input was one of what he calls the regretful steps that was overlooked and diminished during the scoring and selection processes.
There are so many voices and perspectives in our community that wanted to participate in what FDOT advertises as a public workshop. The input was minimal, if any, on the bridge design.
Those attending the FDOT workshops were instead given information on location alternatives for the new bridge, which, as it turned out, weren't that different from the current span. In the next few weeks, FDOT's Ian Satter says they'll get the contract signed with Skanska USA, release all the design proposals, and then go from there.
The contractor will then begin work. We have the initial design, and we'll be getting some public involvement regarding some of the aesthetics and other features of the bridge, and then moving forward with the actual construction and hoping to break ground either late 2016 or early 2017.
Bridges, says City Councilman / Architect Brian Spencer, are a celebration of man's achievement, and he feels there are other better ways to mold concrete and steel into the new Bay Bridge than what's been seen so far. Dave Dunwoody, WUWF News.